Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Europe for this Tuesday, the 16th of May in London. Coming up today, running out of steam, China's recovery worries mount as data disappoints. Not paying off, UK wage rises are set to keep the Bank of England on edge. And higher for longer, the Fed's Bostic tells Bloomberg Radio there's still a way to go on inflation.
CEO pay packages fall, Hugh Pill sorry for inflammatory remarks, and the rise and rise of casual workwear. Those are the stories we're looking at in today's papers, and I'm Leanne Gerrans.
Plus, taxing times. One in five Brits are to start paying the 40% rate.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe. The business news you need to start your day in just one 15-minute podcast on Apple, Spotify, the Bloomberg Business app, and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning, I'm Caroline Hepke. Let's get into our top stories. China's consumer spending and industrial activity grew at a slower pace than expected in April. The data adds to signs that the economic recovery in the country is losing momentum. Industrial production rose 5.6% from a year earlier. That is significantly lower than the 10.9% a Bloomberg survey of economists had forecast. JP Morgan's chief China economist, Hebin Zhu, says that the numbers are a cause for concern.
Today's debt phase is a big miss. IP, I found the most surprising because if you look at the export data, pretty much in line with expectations. So that tells you that domestic demand is a major bottleneck. We are losing the recovery momentum very quickly.
Hebin Zhu there also points out that the figures look better than the reality, given that parts of China were in lockdown this time last year. The UK will release its latest batch of labour market data today. Another hot wage print will do little to ease policymakers' worries. Bloomberg Economics forecasts that total pay growth, excluding bonuses, will rise to 6.8% year on year. That is up from 6.6% previously. The data comes as former Bank of England Governor Mervyn King warned central banks against making precise forecasts on inflation. He spoke to Bloomberg's Alex Steele and Guy Johnson.
The circumstances of a pandemic and what's been happening in Ukraine mean that it is foolish to try to pretend that one can forecast accurately. And I think that to make point forecasts of GDP growth and inflation, you know, inflation will be 3.1%, whatever, that's far too precise. We do not know enough about the future to make those forecasts. What we need to do is to identify risks.
Mervyn King also pointed out that inflation figures in no way anticipate where the future prices might go. The Bank of England lifted rates by 25 basis points at its May meeting to 4.5%, and economists are forecasting at least one more hike. Two Federal Reserve officials are raising the prospect of a pause in US hikes. Chicago's Austin Goolsbee says that his May vote is going to be a close call. And Atlanta Fed President Raphael Bostic told Bloomberg Radio that businesses are starting to feel the crunch.
If I had to have a vote right now, I'd probably vote to hold. But as you noted, we got two more inflation readings. We have a jobs number, a jobs report that's got to come out. There's a lot more information we're going to have as to what's going on.
In a separate CNBC interview, Bostic said that he doesn't expect rate cuts until well into 2024. Traders disagree. They're betting that the central bank will begin cutting later this year. Now, I mentioned US Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen. She says that the debt ceiling standoff is already hurting the economy, and her warning is backed by the Securities and Exchange Commission Chair Gary Gensler. He says that Treasury prices are already shifting.
We've already seen some pricing stress around short-term bills, Treasury bills and the like. A little bit of changes in the sovereign credit default swap spreads. But if we were to go over the X date, I think that you'd see breakdowns all through the market.
Well, that X date that Gensler talked about there refers to the moment that the US defaults. President Biden meets with his Republican counterparts later today to try and resolve the impasse. However, House Speaker Kevin McCarthy says, quote, "We are nowhere near reaching a conclusion in the talks to raise the debt ceiling." One in five taxpayers will be paying a higher rate of income tax by 2027 as a result of a stealth raid by the Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak. This, according to new analysis. Bloomberg's Ewan Potts reports now.
An extra 2.5 million people will be paying tax at 40% or more on some of their earnings if income tax thresholds remain frozen. That's the warning from the Institute for Fiscal Studies. Rishi Sunak's government is currently planning a 6-year freeze to thresholds, pulling people into higher tax bands as wages rise, a phenomenon known as fiscal drag. The IFS says that higher rates of income tax used to be reserved only for the wealthiest, but by 2027, it says about 1 in 4 teachers and 1 in 8 nurses can expect to face them. The report estimates a third of the expected record fall in household income this year is likely to be a result of this tax policy. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak Europe.
Meanwhile, the Prime Minister has pledged support for a coalition to help provide Ukraine with a fleet of Western-made fighter jets. However, Rishi Sunak stopped short of promising actual aircraft. The Prime Minister also committed to giving Ukraine more attack drones and air defence systems.
Right, we are here for the long term. We remain steadfast in wanting to defend Ukraine, not just now to reclaim its rightful territory, but also to ensure that Ukraine has the means to defend itself into the future as well.
Now, Sunak made the comments during a surprise visit by his Ukrainian counterpart to the UK, Volodymyr Zelensky. Kyiv is seeking additional supplies of weapons from allies as it prepares for a counter-offensive against Russian forces in the country. Right, those were a few of our top stories for you this morning. Look, I think the story around gilts is actually really important to note. There's a really nice piece on the terminal this morning by Bloomberg's Marcus Ashworth that points to this fact that there is a flood of gilt supply, and it's, you know, coming to the fore this week with the 40-year gilt sale today, because, of course, it's beginning to overwhelm investors simply because of the about face that we've seen. The Bank of England has turned from being the largest net buyer in the last decade of gilts to becoming now an active seller, and perhaps that is too quick for markets to digest. Remember, the 10-year UK gilt yield is 3.8%, so quite a few notches higher than the US equivalent at about 3.5%. And also, we've underperformed German bunds. So I think that gilt sale this morning will be quite interesting to watch. On a slightly lighter note, though, Martha Stewart on the front cover of Sports Illustrated. Do you know that the queen of domesticity and cooking, of course, is 81, the oldest swimsuit model ever to grace the cover? I don't know what this says about representation. Perhaps that older women are coming more to the fore. She told the Today Show on Monday, "For me, it is a testament to good living. And all of us should think about good living, successful living, and not about aging." There you go, a motto for us all to live by this morning. Right, aside from that, though, on a more serious note, let's go back to the China data, shall we? It disappointed this morning. Sluggish consumer spending and industrial activity growth. So let's discuss with our economic editor for Greater China, James Mager, who joins me live from Beijing this morning. James, thanks so much for your time. So China's reopening energy then, it really does look to be fading. Is the problem more domestic or is it more global?
It's both. I mean, I think the main problem is a domestic economy that is slowing and is not growing as fast as people had expected. part of the reason for that is that global demand is also quite sluggish this year. You're seeing Chinese exports in April falling back to, not growing very quickly. There is some effect, slowing global demand, the rising interest rates you're seeing in Europe and America are having some effect. But it really is a domestic weakness story, I think. The housing market is still in contraction. Retail sales is not growing very particularly strongly, and also industrial output really weaker than expected. So all those things combined mean that that surprising on the downside today from the Chinese data.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the retail sales rose 18.4%, but that was a lot less than expectations. Industrial production 5.6%. So look, what do you think authorities are going to do? Are they going to add more monetary easing? The PBOC made a move on Monday for long-term liquidity, but will there be more?
I mean, the interesting thing, the PBOC brought out their first quarterly monetary policy statement yesterday afternoon, which is kind of like their most other central banks do it every month or what have you. The PBOC does it four times a year. And it was, there's a split in how people are reading that statement. They did drop this phrase that they've used since the end of 2021 about not flooding the economy with stimulus. And some economists and some analysts are taking that as a sign there is going to be much more monetary stimulus coming down the pipeline. But they also had a very new section in the policy statement about how the PBOC has been keeping monetary policy stable, has been keeping interest rate policy stable, sort of emphasizing the fact that they're trying to thread this like middle line between too much and too little. And a lot of people also, a lot of different analysts took that as a sign they're going to be very, very reticent to add monetary stimulus. So it's very, the views of what the PBOC is going to do are split at this time. Mm. Our understanding, from what we've seen, they've been trying to add some liquidity to financial markets, but they haven't been really aggressive in the past. Through the pandemic, they haven't been aggressive in monetary policy. And we've seen no signs of real change in that. So really then it's down to the fiscal authorities, to the government. What are they going to do to try and help the housing market? What are they going to try and do to help retail sales and private consumption to bounce back?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, also, you've got to think about how sustainable the recovery is and what those policymakers will do about one particular red flag, which is youth unemployment. We've talked about this in the past, but it's hit another record high, 20.4%.
Right. We're not looking at levels of, Spain during the global financial crisis of 30-40% of young people out of work, but 20% is a record high, as you say. And it's probably going to get worse as we go into the year, because most Chinese university students graduate in June and then they join the labor market when they start looking for work, and the ones that haven't been identifying work at that point go become unemployed. So, this may actually get a lot worse.
Yes.
And the second half of the year, unless the economy picks up, there's little to think that that's going to be a swift improvement of those numbers. And, lots of young, unemployed people is not what any government wants to see. Especially in China, I think there's maybe 12 million university graduates joining the workforce in June this year, which is just a huge number of people you need to find jobs for.
Yeah, it's mind-boggling, isn't it? 12 million people graduating in the summer. James, thank you so much for being with us. Lovely to have you on the programme. That is Bloomberg's economic editor for Greater China, James Mager. Now, coming up next, CEO pay packages fall. Hugh Pill says sorry for inflammatory remarks and the rise and rise of casual workwear.
Now, the paper review on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe. The news you need to know from today's papers.
And joining me in the studio, Bloomberg's Leanne Gerrans. I'm not alone this morning. Thanks for coming in to talk to us. The Wall Street Journal has the headline, CEO pay packages fell sharply in 2022, the first decline in a decade.
Caroline, we'll never let you walk alone on the show. We'll always come and join you at some point. Yes, now let's get into this Wall Street Journal story, Caroline. This really digs into the changes made to the way CEO pay packages are now calculated over in the US. So this is something that we're really going to hone in on. Historically, companies have reported executive pay as it was valued when they received the pay packet. Mm. But now companies are really charting gains and losses in the stock awards that make up much of the pay packages for the CEOs. Now, this is the first time this year this is happening, and now we are seeing those new figures come through, hence why things have fallen sharply. So numbers show that in 2022, about two-thirds of top executives at S&P 500 companies ended the year with smaller pay packages. And some 140 CEOs actually earned more money than they did expect. And this is all according to Wall Street Journal analysis. They've been breaking down the numbers in light of these changes to the way data is processed. Now, the latest disclosures show new measure of pay for the 3 months in most recent years highlights how much CEO pay can really fluctuate with market tides and other factors. So this is the reason why we're seeing these S&P 500 top executives earn less money, because things are being calculated differently. And obviously volatility in the markets making things more difficult.
Yeah, look, I think it's a really interesting move, isn't it? It's trying to get more clarity actually on what the value of pay packages is, and sort of trying to, I guess, mark to market the pay packets. But this is a weird year in which to do it.
Yes, absolutely.
And last year would have been as well, given that a lot of stocks have done badly, you know, in terms of, yeah, the economic slowdown that we've seen. Let's see in good years what those pay packets look like. Okay, let's move on though and talk about the Times. So the Bank of England's Hugh Pill is sorry for inflammatory remarks. What were those inflammatory remarks, I wonder?
Oh, Hugh Pill. He said Britons need to accept they are poorer as a result of high inflation. But listen, Caroline, sometimes it's difficult to say sorry and to own up to your mistakes, but he's done just that. And I wonder if it's because his remarks caused basically tidal waves, didn't it?
Yeah,
people were pretty outraged by what he had to say, accepting they were poorer because of high inflation. His comments were even criticised by Andrew Bailey. Now, that was a rare move from the governor of the central bank. But remember, he told people not to accept bonuses. So I'm just wondering if this just slightly rings of out of touch. But listen, he said that he is sorry. He was should have used different language. And, you know, like Caroline, widely criticised across the political spectrum.
He was, but saying sorry and that I should have used better language is not denying, you know, the economic point that he was trying to make, which is that if we all push for higher wages, prices will continue to go up and that makes the inflation picture worse.
But and, still, of course, the strike still going on with some, you know, sectors still pushing for more pay. And that's basically, the underlying tone there.
OK, headline in the Financial Times says, work and weekend wardrobes. Do we need boundaries? Do we?
Absolutely not. And I don't know why. This story is interesting, but it also annoyed me a little bit, Caroline. We've completely moved on from having two different wardrobes. We no longer need a work wardrobe's gone and a casual wardrobe's gone. It's all just mixed in now. But listen, Emma Jacobs, writing for the FT, such a great piece. She says it's annoying her. She wants distinction.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, your morning brief on the stories making news from London to Wall Street and beyond.
Look for us on your podcast feed every morning on Apple, Spotify and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each morning on London DAB Radio, the Bloomberg Business app and Bloomberg.com.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 11:30. I'm Caroline Hepke.
And I'm Stephen Carroll. Join us again tomorrow morning for all the news you need to start your day, right here on Bloomberg Daybreak Europe.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take and Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.